with Fred's guest, Leo DeRocher, starring in the Brooklyn Pinafore. Portland Hopper, Minerva Pyers as Mrs. Nussbaum, Alan Reed as Falstaff Openshaw, Parker Fenley as Titus Moody, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. And if you look on Senator Claghorn's birth certificate, you'll find my name, Kenny Delmar. This past week, ladies and gentlemen, all New York has been flocking to the National Aviation Show. Tonight, we can't bring you one of the Wright brothers, so we bring you a wrong guy. And here he is, Fred Allen.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And Kenny, I heard you accidentally happened to be in the vicinity and heard you mention the aviation show. Now, I didn't know you were so keenly interested in air, Kenny.
Oh, yes, Fred, I breathe it.
You do, really? Well, don't breathe too much of it around here. I have to live, too, you know. You know, I meant to tell you before, they had some wonderful new planes at the aviation show. One jet propulsion model travels faster than sound.
Yeah, well, why should anyone want to travel faster than sound?
Well, to get away from the Jack Benny program, for one thing. But maybe thousands of people who are... Well, of course... Portland, I haven't heard Lowell Thomas lately. What's new?
Frank Sinatra went up to the UN meeting last Tuesday.
Oh, the UN meeting? I guess Frankie wanted to explain harmony to the delegates up there. Frankie must have caused some talk.
Yes, the Russian delegate looked at Frankie.
What did the Russian delegate say? He was there that day, huh? What did the Russian delegate say when he looked at Frankie?
Take some of the food you were going to send us and give it to this boy.
Tell me, Portland, what else is in the news?
Oh, they had an accident at the circus.
Really? What happened?
You know the man who was shot out of the cannon across the arena?
Yeah.
They shot off the cannon, and the man only came out a little way.
You mean?
He was half shot.
That does it, Portland. Speaking of being half-shot, reminds me of the lost weekend. And one way to lose a weekend is to spend it in Allen's Alley.
Have you a question, Roger?
It'd be a short program if I haven't. During the past week, Portland, Mayor O'Dwyer and the city police have arrested hundreds of bookmakers and pinball machine operators. And so our question tonight is, what is your reaction to this new drive on gamblers and gambling?
Shall we go?
As the ship said when it was hit with the champagne bottle, I'm on my way. On my way, if I get to meet it's so restful down here in Allen's Alley, Portland. The senator's home all right. Look, there's a peanut oil lamp burning in his window. Now, let's knock.
Somebody, I'll say, somebody knock.
Yes, I know.
Claghorn's the name, Senator Claghorn.
I know your name.
I got a story for you tonight, son.
What story?
That's about the Southern cannibal. She divorced her husband. He was always eating Georgia crackers in bed. Ha,
You in the South. What about the North?
There ain't no North, son.
No North?
It's just that one place ain't as far south as another place.
What about Canada, Montreal?
Canada was discovered by a Southerner, son. Yeah. Montreal was originally called Montreal.
Now, look, Santa. What about my question? What about this gambling business?
We have plenty of gambling games in the South. There's a cotton gin rummy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Black-eyed pinochle. What? Southern Bridge.
What is Southern Bridge?
There's only three players. No. You can't play poker in Texas without kibitzes.
If you start a game of poker...
The eyes of Texas are upon you.
Well, what about gambling, this gambling here in New York City?
Northern gamblers are only gambling to get a free trip to the South.
You mean if they're arrested?
They'll get 20 years in Atlanta. DA, that is.
No. Come on. Well, the senator sure is in fine fettle tonight. Well, let's see what Mr. Moody is up to.
Howdy, bub.
Tell me, a new trend in radio, exhaling, is getting applause now. You can come to the microphone and prove you're alive at something. But tell me, Mr. Moody, what about this gambling drive?
Oh, just going to New York is a gamble.
Well, how do you mean?
Every time I go to New York, I get my pocket picked.
Really?
Yeah, first time I went to New York, a fellow says, "Psh, Rube."
Yeah?
Call me into a dark doorway.
A dark doorway?
Yeah. He was selling neon jackknives for night whittling.
For night whittling, huh? And you bought a jackknife?
Yeah. When I stepped out of the doorway, my pocket was picked.
Well, did you come to New York again?
Yeah. Next time, I was playing a pinball machine on Broadway.
Uh-huh.
I won.
Yeah.
Bell started ringing.
Yes.
A picture of Admiral Dewey lit up.
Yeah.
Gun started shooting off.
Yeah.
Blinding flash went off my face. Yeah. I couldn't see nothing for 20 minutes.
And when you could see?
I looked in my pocket. It was picked again.
Well, didn't you try to get even?
Yeah. Next time I come to New York, I put a big fish hook in my pocket.
A fish hook? And what happened?
When I got home, my money was gone.
Yeah?
In my pocket, on the fish hook, was a flounder.
Well, I guess that finished you with New York, Mr. Moody.
No, sir. I went again last week. I was prepared.
Yeah?
I cut the bottoms off all my pockets.
Ah, pickpockets didn't get anything this time, eh?
They didn't, eh?
You mean someone reached in through one of your bottomless pockets?
Yeah, they must have. Because when I got home...
Yeah?
My underwear was gone. Come on!
At least Mr. Moody gave us the bare facts. Oh, well. Let's try this next door here.
No.
Ah, Mrs. Nussbaum.
You are expecting maybe Jinx Falkenstein.
Tell me, Mrs. Ann, what is your reaction to this gambling drive?
It is my private wish that ultimately law and order should prevail.
Well spoken, Mrs. Nussbaum. And tell me, why are you so against gambling?
Because my husband, Pierre, is unlucky.
Unlucky, huh?
If it is raining borscht outside, Pierre will be standing with a fork.
Uh-huh.
He will also missing the potato.
Say, Pierre is unlucky.
Last week at the racetrack, he is losing everything.
Well, what happened?
For three nights, every night, Pierre is having the same dream.
The same to what dream?
On a plate, he is seeing salami, bologna, and liverwurst.
Salami, bologna, and liverwurst.
One day at the track is running three horses named salami, bologna, and liverwurst.
Just what he'd seen in his dream.
By Pierre, this is a hunt.
Uh-huh.
He is betting everything.
And on the day of the race?
Coming in last, the dead heat, is salami, bologna, and liverwurst.
Well, what horse won?
A long shot by the name Cold Cut.
Leaves us this little chromium Quonset hut at the end of the alley. I hate to think what a knock here is going to start.
Sixpence at all, Gloria Monday. Falstaff says, so you know it's Sunday.
Ah, merry man Openshaw. You have new poems up your tattered sleeve?
Oh, yea, sire. Have you heard? Mother gave father a withering look when she finished the first chapter of Errol Flynn's book.
Now, wait a minute. Never mind those tired titles tonight. We're discussing the gambling drive here in New York City.
Precisely why I confront you.
I get it. And what is your gaming poem called?
One word I have for gamblers.
One word. How does it go?
One word I have for gamblers. I'll shout as is my wont. The word I have for gamblers is, if you feel like gambling, don't.
That was a shrunken version of Some Sunday Morning, just an hour or two, played by Maestro Al Goodman and his Swing and Sway, We're From Avenue A Orchestra. And now, say, Portland.
Yes?
Did you bring the pitcher of water I spoke to you about?
You dropped four pitchers already. How did you get so thirsty?
Well, I'll tell you. Last night, I had a yen for some chili con carne. I left the house and started out to look for one of those Mexican lunchrooms. On 6th Avenue, I finally found a place, Sloppy Miguel's. On the door, it said chili, tamales, and enchiladas. And in the window, there was a little plaque. It said, Tito Gazar slept here. As I opened the door, I heard the Mexican chef arguing with a customer at the counter. The chef was saying...
Please, what do you say, senor?
I said no, amigo, and that's final. Leo DeRocher. Leo, what's the trouble?
Oh, it's nothing, Fred. I came into this joint to get a bowl of chili.
Yeah?
And this guy wants to sign me up for the Mexican League.
He wants you to play baseball in Mexico?
No, he wants me to sell hot tamales in the grandstand.
Oh, fine.
He says all I have to do is holler chili in the middle and Tabasco on top.
Well, down in Mexico, the fans probably throw tequila bottles.
Tequila? I'd love to give those guys a Mickey.
Well, you did, Leo. You look wonderful, Leo. Healthy and tan from training down there in Florida.
Oh, it was great, Fred. They love me in the South.
In the South? How do you mean?
You know me, Fred. My mouth always going.
Yeah?
Well, they thought I was Senator Claghorn.
No kidding.
Every time one of the Dodgers hit a home run,
yeah,
the fans all yell, "That's a poke, son."
But tell me, Leo, what is the outlook for the baseball fan this year?
Fred, I honestly think this season is going to be one of the greatest in baseball history.
Well, how does it look in the National League?
Oh, it's going to be close, Fred. The St. Louis Cardinals and the Chicago Cubs will be fighting it out nip and tuck for second place.
Second place? Who will be in first place?
Are you kidding? Yeah.
You mean the Dodgers are a cinch for the pennant?
Oh, we may lose a game or two, but that's baseball.
You got one more to go after the test. But, Leo, I've been reading that some of your Brooklyn players are out with injuries.
Yes, this spring I have plenty of headaches.
Ah, you see, it's the same thing every year, Leo. You have nothing but troubles and worries. Why don't you give up baseball?
What could I do?
Well, you're a born showman, Leo. You belong on the stage. Now, last fall when you sang the Brooklyn Pinafore on our program... You were a sensation.
I was really good?
Good. We have received hundreds of letters from music lovers. Two fan clubs have left Lawrence Tibbett. They're all asking us... They're all asking us to have you sing it again.
No kidding. Say, there may be something to this canary racket at that. How did that opera go again, Fred?
Well, first, there was a big announcement. The Brooklyn Pinafore starring Leo DeRocher.
I remember.
The first scene, as you remember, is the bleachers at Ebbets Field. It's a big game between the Giants and the Dodgers. Brooklyn rooters are sitting around in their underwear. Hutchins are running up and down the aisles with rocks looking for Giant fans. Peddlers are going through the stands selling raw meat on sticks for the kiddies. And as the curtain rises, we have the opening. The bleachers sing... Your team runs out on the field. The stands break into a cheer.
Flatfoot, speed by Thorough Hall. Who's the team with something on the ball? Dodgers! Dodgers! D-O-J-E-R-S! Dodgers!
Yay! And then, Leo, you run out of the dugout.
I come on?
Yes. You stand right near home plate. Now, the rest of the team kneels around you in a semicircle. The infielders have lavender bats. The outfielders have mandolins with pussy willow picks. The crowd quiet. heads down as you step up to the microphone and sing.
I am the captain of the Dodger team.
And a right good captain he.
I am quiet and subdued, and they say a little crude, but I frighten rather easily.
He is quiet and subdued, and they say a little crude, but he frightens rather easily.
That language and abuse I never, never use. No one do I intentionally hurt, though heavens I may occasionally say, I never call an umpire jerk.
What, never?
No, never.
What, never?
Well, hardly ever.
He never calls an umpire jerk. So give a cheer and give a shout for the Dodger captain with a big loud mouth. So give a cheer and give a shout for the Dodger captain with a big
was great, Leo. If Perry Como is listening in, he'll never know another good night's sleep.
Well, what happens next, Fred?
Well, next, Leo, comes your big love scene. The game starts, and as you're standing in front of the dugout, something hits you on the ear.
A pop bottle?
No, Leo. It's a rose. Someone has thrown a rose.
At Ebbets Field?
Well, this is a fantasy, Leo. Well, you look up, and there she stands, the beautiful mystery girl. She speaks.
It was me that thrown you the rose, Leo.
Mystery girl. Mystery girl, you're back.
Yeah, Leo. I come to wish you luck against the Giants.
You bring a message, fair one?
Yeah, Leo. Go out and murder them flops.
Mystery girl, I cannot conceal my love for you any longer.
Please, Leo.
You don't love me?
Love you, Lippy. I'm carrying... Why, I'm carrying a torch for you that could light up two night games.
Then why won't you marry me?
You gotta get me old man's okay, and that's gonna be tough.
Well, who is your father? Mystery girl, who are you?
You wanna know who I am? Okay, I'll tell you. I'm calling the Bobby Sox. Sweet little Bobby Sox, my heart for you, Lippy, could voice. Before you make me your mate, let's get this one fact straight. Frankie Sinatra comes first. I'm sweet little Bobby Sox, dear little Bobby Sox. But I'm not getting younger, you see. So long I have tarried, but since Frankie's married, it's Lippy DeRosa for me.
Oh, Leo. That love scene will make people forget Mr. Anthony and Cleopatra. Wallace Beery and Lassie couldn't have done it any better.
Well, what's the next scene, Fred?
It's the big climax, Leo. Now get this picture. It's the last of the ninth inning. Two men are out. The crowd is going crazy. You step up to the plate. I'm the umpire behind the plate. In the distance, we hear Red Barber over the loudspeaker saying...
Hey,
you lardhead, I was safe a mile.
Quiet, you. I'll knock you flatter than your singing voice.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'll slap your head up into a point and I'll round it off.
Yes, says who?
Says me.
Why, I'll pull that big tongue of yours out so far, you'll think you're wearing a red muffler.
Hey, your father's mustache.
Hey, your sister's sideburns.
Hey, your grandma's goatee.
Hey, your aunt's kitchen for Philadelphia. Said you're out. The game is over, and the Dodgers lose.
Oh, yeah? I'll beat your brains out. Give me that bat.
Oh, see?
Little Bobby Sox. You.
Put down
of the bat, Lippy.
But it's only Cockeye Allen, the umpire.
He is also your future father-in-law.
Mystery girl, you mean?
Cockeye Allen's my old man.
What's the meaning of this daughter, Bobby Sox?
Leo wants to marry me, Cockeye.
Yeah?
Don't you, Leo?
Me marry an umpire's daughter? They'll throw me out of who's who.
Lippy! You'll forgive Cockeye, won't you, Lippy?
Well, if you say so, Bobby Sox. Shake hands, Cockeye.
At last, an umpire hears a kind word in Brooklyn. You know, I may be an umpire, Leo, but I ain't really a bad guy.
I know, Cockeye, but with those thick glasses, how did you ever become an umpire?
Come over close where I can feel you, Lippy, and I'll tell you.
When I was a lad, I could not see a hand held up in front of me. In spite of how I squint and peer, I couldn't tell my father from my mother dear. My eyes were oh so very, very weak that now I am an umpire in the National League.
His eyes were oh so very, very weak that now he is an umpire in the National League.
As the years went by, I grew up a schnook. My eyes were so bad I couldn't read a book. The army took me, but they sent me back. I tried to kiss the general because I thought he was a whack. I'm still half blind with no physique. That's why I am an umpire in the National League.
He's still half blind with no physique. That's why he is an umpire in the National League.
As an umpire, I gained great fame. I called a player out who wasn't in the game. Another decision which you may have heard, I'm the guy who made Greenberg stay on third. My life is a failure, I'm up the creek. That's why I'm an umpire in the National League.
His life is a failure, he's up the creek.
That's why I'm an umpire in the National League.
There's a happy ending, Leo. I give you permission to marry my daughter, Bobby Sox, and the entire ensemble joins in the big finale.
All of Brooklyn's feeling blue, all the roses getting wet, to an umpire's daughter who he needs like a hole in the head.
Me as Lippy's wife for the rest of our life. We can bill and coo.
But before you take her hand, you must first understand, I'll get no more lip from you. Swear never, no never, oh up never, well hardly ever. My lip I will button up when you say batter up, even though games you will rob. I'll be ever discreet, so tender, so sweet, and soon I'll be out of a job.
So give me cheer and one cheer more for the Dodger captain who won't talk no more. So give me cheer and one cheer more for this concludes our Brooklyn
Dinner. Mr. Allen Show next week will have Cedric Hardwick as guest. This is the United Network.